now I'm humbled by what they did, and I you guys are a family, and you're my family, and I love all you guys. I really do. I do appreciate it. And I got a gift bag here. It's got a lot of stuff. It's got snacks, so if anybody's hungry, got some snacks and stuff in here. Band-Aids, in case you need one. I got extras. And I got this cute little case I get scared. Amen. Praise the Lord, huh? Isn't that nice? These ladies are sweet, aren't they? Tim tells me he had nothing to do with it. Don't worry, Tim. I don't hold grudges. I forget all about it once I get even. So we're good. Okay, brother? No. No. And I am humbled. I praise the Lord for that. I don't like to be in the spotlight, but I do appreciate it, ladies. I really do. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we humbly come before your throne, Father, we just have to realize, Father, that you love us, and we praise you for that. I praise you, Father, for those that show your love through themselves to us. We just praise you, Father. We thank you. Father, we come around your word this morning. I pray that as Matt spoke, that we would have ears to hear what's said. Father, I'm going to rely totally on you this morning. I want you to say what needs to be said. Father, we're just going to ask in your precious name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We humbly pray. Amen. Guys, have a good week. Good week. Praise the Lord. Some of us had a day off, maybe here and there, maybe took some time off themselves. Praise the Lord. That's good. We did a little thing, the family and I, we always do a little thing. My brothers and I get together once a year. We probably doesn't sound like exciting thing, but we butcher hogs. We do that. We do our own sausage and we cut them up. It's just a really cool time. Yeah, somebody but we enjoy it. It's just a really nice family time. Have dinner, Friday after we do it, and then Saturday when we cut up the meat, we have dinner. It's just a really nice time for everybody to get together. We enjoy it. It's something we do, so we had that this week. But when I was thinking about what I was going to preach on this Sunday, last week's devotions, Easter's coming, isn't it? I mean, we're thinking, man, we just came through Christmas, right? Easter's coming. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. Lord gave me some ideas, and I guess if you look at the bulletin, the sermon title today is the power of grace and the power of the cross. They tie so greatly together. We're going to look at some verse of scripture. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 9. Gotta read a little something here to you and see where this goes. We all know what grace is. I mean, what's grace? What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. Do it that way, right? And it is. Grace is something we get that we do not deserve, right? I told you a story about Billy Graham. True story. Got a ticket, went into the courtroom, and the judge saw who it was. That's Billy Graham. That's Billy Graham. He says, whatever happened, he had a $100 fine. The judge says, Mr. Graham, I want to pay the $100 fine for you, and I want to take you out to dinner. That's grace. He didn't pay nothing. Billy Graham didn't deserve a thing. But that judge said, hey, I want to pay your fine, and I want to take you out to dinner. Isn't that cool? It's grace. That's grace. We're going to know what grace is. What is our life without grace? That's an interesting question. I ran into that studying this week. Grace without, our life without grace. The best way I could explain it, I heard it explained, I like this. We all have houses, someplace we live, right? What's in your house? You got, appliances? Refrigerators? We got dishwashers, maybe two-legged, maybe a dishwasher, I don't know, however that works for you. We got what? Microwaves? Huh? We got blenders? We got what? We got radio? We got TV? Yeah, we got, look at all this stuff. We got furnace, heat, right? We got heat. What happens when the electric goes out? Nothing works, does it? Do you still have the stuff? God has given you so much. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, He has given you so much, and you got it. It's in your hands. But without grace, without that power, without that power of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's just stuff. A house is totally useless without electric, right? Right? Doug, they're moving their kids in. They had electric problems. Somebody turned off too soon, whatever. It makes it tough. We get used to having electricity, right? Same with grace. I think sometimes we take God's grace for granted. Because we talked about it in Sunday school. The older we get, it's almost like we expect Him to do something. Because He's done so much for us, right? Grace. How's the grace tie in with the cross? We're coming up on Easter. This is a central. This is probably the central point. It's a central place of our faith, isn't it? Without the cross, nothing really matters, does it? He was born. Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We come through Christmas. We all know that, right? We believe that. He went to that cross to die. Wow. Why did He go to that cross? Because He took my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world and placed them upon Himself. He hung on that cross as He bled and died for you and me. He took all that junk upon Himself. We can spend eternity with Him in heaven. Isn't that something? Now, obviously, we had to have the resurrection, right? It had to happen, or this was all just for naught, right? The cross is a central point of our life, of our Christian walk. So how do you explain that? I was going to have the biggest lie ever told in church. I was going to do this, but I decided not to. Because I was humbled by my birthday stuff. Oh, that wouldn't be very nice. So I'm not going to do that. But let me ask you a question. Football. Anybody watch football? I mean, that's over with. Now they got the XFL or something they got on TV. So I see it every once in a while. Football. Depending on if you play soccer or not, because that can be called football, right? But it's football, right? Football. So you got these two teams. They've been practicing. I mean, these guys have been practicing, right? Practicing. Coaches have been hollering and screaming at them, yelling at them, working, getting all stuff, right? They got all stuff. All these people come to the stadium. There's million people in the stadium. It's just packed. You got TV. You got all this stuff going on, right? You got the cheerleaders. Yay! Everybody's buying food. Money. Yay! They get down there to play. And they forgot the football. They don't have a football. What do you do without the football? Without the football game is pretty much useless, isn't it? All that preparation, all that stuff you did, all that work, all that stuff, what's it mean? Nothing. Because they ain't got a football. The football marks where the line's at. They mark where you stop. Everybody fights for it. It's like a big deal, right? A Christian faith is like football without the football. It's like the game without the ball. Without that cross, it's just a bunch of stuff. We're doing a bunch of stuff, but it ain't getting us nowhere, right? Hopefully that was explanatory enough. I don't know, hope not. Grace is a house without electricity. Without the cross in our Christian walk, it's just like a football game without football. You could play the Super Bowl, but nobody'd be there because there was no ball to play with. They didn't have any competitions. There's nothing to go, right? It's a waste of time, right? See, the big lie I was going to tell you that me and Matt had figured this out. We had picked teams. You guys are all going to be on a football team. Okay, we got football teams. We got people. CNN's coming. We got all this stuff coming. See, it was a big lie. I was going to tell you, and I forgot to bring the ball. See, that's what it is. It's our Christian faith, our Christian walk, our religion without the cross, like football without a ball. Cool? All right. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Hopefully that all becomes maybe helpful, explanatory. Jeremiah chapter 9. A lot of stuff going on, Jeremiah. People getting, God says, I'm going to feed you to the crows. You're going to die. You're going to die like chaff out there. He's going, all this stuff, telling them. And Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. This is what it says. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise and skillful person glory and boast in his wisdom and skill. Okay, if you're skillful, don't be boasting in it. Let not the mighty and powerful person glory and boast in his strength and power. Let not the person who is rich in physical gratification or earthly wealth glory and boast in this temporal satisfactions and earthly riches. Verse 24. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Hmm? That's the place where the kazoo would be good, right? Huh? You gonna glory in something? You wanna glory in something? God says, you wanna glory in something? Glory in understanding and knowing me. And the Amplified says, personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Isn't that cool? If you're going to boast in something, if you've got all this stuff, you're going to boast in something. God says, boast in understanding and knowing me. The cool part about that word understanding means it's an intellectual comprehension. That's a Doug word, intellectual comprehension. That means your brain's like, ooh, I get it. I understand who he is. When it couples with know, it means that you practically, you have application in your life that God is working, he's doing some stuff, you know that he is. Isn't that cool? God says, if you want to boast in something, boast in knowing me. It's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. I thought it was. You guys don't seem to be excited about it as I was. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought that's pretty cool. Huh? So where's all this going, Matt? You got this grace thing. You got this cross thing. Where's all this come together? We're going to go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Paul's got some stuff going on with these Galatians. He's been dealing with them. Paul has started a church here in Galatia. And has established a church. It was a growing church. It was a Christian church. He had started himself, and he went on and was doing other things. Well, there were some people came in to this church. And they said, you know, if you guys are going to be Christians, you're going to have to do some of the stuff, right? Do some stuff, right? God made 10 commandments, but that wasn't quite enough for us. So we had to make 640 more, okay? So you guys need to adhere to these 640 laws, and then you can be a Christian. Isn't that cool? Isn't that what we want, though? I mean, when we come to salvation, what is it? By grace, through faith, right? Through our faith. What's he say? Just believe. He's the Son of God. He came, he died on that cross, and he rose again on the third day in power. Huh? And he's seated at the right hand of God. Wow! Now some people can just say, you know, I believe that. I can believe that. I can believe it. And other people are like, you expect me to believe that? You ever have people do that? It's that simple. We believe. We don't have a whole list of laws and regulations and stuff that we're called to do. Well, Paul, he had this church, and the Judaizers, it's a big name word, another Dougie word, Judaizers. Judaizers are just people that actually, there were Jewish people that came in and said, you guys want to be Christians, you got to adhere to some laws. There's laws you have to adhere to. And Paul's going to address it a little bit. Okay, so in Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read a little bit. Paul's explaining to him, you've got to take this in. Paul's explaining to the church, saying, listen, you guys are trying to live by the law, trying to live under the law. You're trying to be Christians under the law. So let's just see what he's got to say. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 19. Paul writes, for I, through the law, under the operation of the curse of the law, having Christ's death for me, myself died to the law. Paul says, I am dead to the law. And all the law's demands upon me so that I may henceforth live for God. He says, you know what? All them rules and laws you guys got, them 600 rules and laws that you have to live by. Whew. And you know what? Paul used to be that guy. Paul was the guy. He was the Pharisee. He was that guy. He was born on the right time of the year. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was that guy. He was the top elite guy. And he said, you know what? I've got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've realized who he is. He came to me on the Damascus Road. He blinded me. He's made me a disciple of his. And those laws, they don't mean nothing to me no more. Because I can't adhere to them anyway. I'm going to fail. You know what? So for me, I'm going to live for God. Isn't that cool? Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Now what? I didn't see Paul up there on the cross anywhere, did you? Paul says, you know what? I'm crucified. And the Amplified likes this. I have been crucified with Christ. In Him I have shared His crucifixion. Wow. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He says, you know what? Christ lives in me. And he said, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in reliance to the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Isn't that cool? You guys know John 3:16? God so loved the world, He gave His own begotten Son, who can believe in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul got a hold of that. He said, you know what? He loved me. He loved me. I'm going to say it. He loved a dummy like me. He loved me. Isn't that something? You can say I'm not a dummy, but when I look in the mirror and go, oh, you're a dummy. Huh? Because I do dumb stuff, right? And I know me, right? But Paul says, you know, I've done a lot of bad stuff too. I crucified the church. I killed people. I put them in prison. I beat them. I drug them down the street. That was me. You know what? Those laws don't mean nothing to me no more. I'm going to live for Christ because He lives in me. Isn't that cool? Okay, let's keep going. Verse 21. Therefore, I do not treat God's gracious gift as of something minor importance and defeat its very purpose. I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace that unmerited favor of God. For if justification comes through observing a law, then Christ died groundlessly and to no purpose and in vain. Paul was saying, listen guys, if I'm going to live by the law, then Christ died for nothing. He went to that cross for nothing. He took the sins of the world and my sins for nothing. Because I'm going to try living by the law. How many people you know live by the law? You ever get anybody knock on your door? Yes, you believe that the Bible is the inherent word of God? You better believe it, brother. Let's come in and talk about it. Huh? Let's talk about it. You show me your Bible. Let's find some verses in there. Let's talk about it. Those people are trying to win their way into heaven by doing. By doing. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with going and talking to somebody about the Bible. I do it a lot. I enjoy it. I can do it anywhere. Neighbor guy come down yesterday. He's talking about stuff, and we're just having a good old Bible time. Put your nose. It's a good time. You know what I mean? It was cool. It was a good time. I thought, that's pretty nice. You can talk about, what do you talk about? You want to boast? Boast in knowing me? That's what God said. He said, you want to boast in something? Boast in knowing me. That's what he's saying. Paul's saying, you know what? If you guys want to live by the law, then Christ died for nothing. The Amplified says his death was then wholly superfluous. That's another Dougie word. Superfluous. Huh? That's a big word. What does chapter 3 say? Oh, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians. That's me! You silly goose. What's the matter with you? Huh? What's the matter with you? Who is fascinated or bewitched you or cast a spell over you unto whom right before your very eyes Jesus Christ was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified? Paul saying, listen guys, we started this church. Didn't I tell you what he did? Didn't I show you that he was crucified? Didn't I show you? Didn't I tell you? Oh, you silly gooses. What's the matter with you? Huh? That's what he's saying, you silly gooses. And he goes on. So Paul's saying, trying to talk to Galatians. I want to go a couple verses of scripture here I want to show you. And I've read these before. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3. It's not too far away. Galatians, Ephesians, right there beside it. Galatians chapter 3. I'm having difficulty turning the page because my Band-Aid's coming off. But I found it. It's Ephesians chapter 3. verses 14, well, 8 through 19. I want to read you something here. Paul had got a hold of something. I told you that Paul, when John 3:16, he believed that God so loved him that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what Paul's saying. He says, dude, I believe it. I believe it. I'm standing on it. I believe it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did a lot of praying, didn't he? He did a lot of praying. Heard something this weekend that made me chuckle. He's talking about prayer. It says, prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? I thought, you know, that's a pretty good thought, because how many times do you ever get your spare tire down? Hardly ever, right, Paul? I mean, I don't even know if it's got air in it. You know, it may not have air in it. It may be flat. I don't know. But you got a spare tire, right? And just in case, right? So is prayer that just in case thing? Do we just, whenever we think about something bad, we pray? Or is prayer that thing that when I'm driving down the road, I'm doing it all the time. I got a whole lot of steering wheel praying about that. Huh? That's what he's trying to say. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? I thought that's pretty cool. So yeah, so Paul's praying. Verse 15. Whom every family in the heaven and on earth is named. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened. Listen to this. This is pretty. When I read this, I've read this before, I know here, but I read this occasionally because it's like, you know what? When I'm feeling beat up and down, when I'm starting to think, I'm going to read this as, look at this verse 16. It says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personalized. Says, hey, you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes in here, you got some power. You got a house full of appliances with electricity. You got some electric coming on, right? You got stuff in there that can work. Dishwasher, right? You got stuff. Verse 17. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell. Settle down. Abide. Make his permanent home in your heart. Isn't that cool? May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Trying to find a good definition for love. There isn't one. Not even in the Bible. Look in the Bible. Look for a definition of love. Oh, see, what about Corinthians 13, the love chapter? Huh? It tells me what love does. It tells me how love acts. But it doesn't tell me what love is. When it says God is love, I don't... When I get a little something like this, I see a little bit of love of God. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, when God can love me when I'm not lovable, I don't know, I preach on love sometime. I don't know, because there's no definition. Look, it's interesting. I was looking at it. Let's go on. He says, let that love be grounded, rooted in you. And you know, when you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you and Christ dwelling in you, I don't think you can help but love. Can you? It's coming out of your heart. It's coming out. You're just like glowing, little radiant beams of love coming out of you because God is in you. Isn't that cool? Do you feel like that most of the time? When your kids are giving you trouble, do you feel like a radiant love? You like to strangle the life right out of them. Huh? Huh? I'm the only ones like that. Okay. I see, but you know what I mean? But you may not love them a whole lot right then, but you still love them, but you just don't like them a lot. Isn't that a good way to put it? Huh? It's the same with people in marriage and different things. You love them, but boy, I don't like him real well right now. You know what I'm saying? Getting off track. I just thought, just look up love, see what you find. I'd be interested to know what you find. Verse 18, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp of all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. There's no measurement of love. There's no depth that it won't go. There's no height that it won't reach. There's no place that it won't get to. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? How do you define something like that? You can't put love in a box. It won't stay there. You can't put God in a box. He won't stay there. He's too big for a box. And we're just reading, he's going to fill you with power. Then we come to verse 19. Look at this. And it says, that you may really come to know. And the Amplified says, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. We can experience Christ. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. You may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Huh? Isn't that exciting? Most of you didn't hear, the kids had the little birthday party kazoo. They were just going crazy in here earlier. And I told them, I said, there'll be a place in the scripture here when you guys got them. You're going to eat. And they didn't do it. So anyway, I had to do it myself and look like an idiot again. Anyway, this is the place you would do that. If you want to be filled with God, you're going to be filled with His holy presence. Wow, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Let's go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. This is a little bit of a chunk. It's a little bit of a chunk of scripture, but I'm going to read this to you. I want to show you something, what Paul's going to say here. I never really read this for you. You ever hear of falling from grace? Never hear that before? Yeah, it's not something you hear very much. I got one head nod. That's it. You want to come up and talk about it? Yeah, okay. All right. I never heard it before. I never did. And I thought, kind of cool. So in Galatians chapter 5, remember where we're at here. You got a church that's trying to live by some laws, circumcision, some stuff that they're saying, hey, you guys got to do this if you're going to be Christian. Huh? And Paul's like, okay, in chapter 5, we're going to read a little bit here. It says, in this freedom, Christ has made us free. He's completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submitted again to a yoke of slavery, which you once put off. Verse 2. Notice, it is I, Paul, who tells you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no profit to you. It says, for if you distrust Him, you gain nothing from Him. Wow. If you think, you know, for me to be a Christian, I got to be circumcised. No, not what he's saying. Verse 3. I once more protest and testify to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation and bound to practice the whole of the law and its ordinances. Okay, Paul says, okay, you want to live this way? You want to live under the 640 laws? Okay, if you're going to do it, then you've got to do them all. Okay? You can't have any bad thoughts. You can't say any bad thing. You can't see any bad thing. On the Sabbath, don't you be carrying nothing. Don't you do it. Don't you have a needle in your pocket. It could be getting misconstrued. You're trying to work on the Sabbath. One time you missed it, you screwed the whole thing up. That's what Paul's saying. You want to follow it? Let's follow it all. You can't. As human beings, we can't. Anybody here ever say something they shouldn't have? I'm the only one. Okay, you guys are doing really good then. I mean, I'm the only one that said something and I should have. Huh? Yeah, you see what I'm saying? We've all been, and you know, sometimes you something happens, you just say, whoop, shouldn't have said that. Huh? We've all been there. That's what Paul's trying to tell him. Say, guys, come on. Really? Verse 4. If you seek to be justified and declared righteous and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you are brought to nothing and so separated. Severed is a better word from Christ. Wow. You have fallen away from grace. Ooh. Ooh. You have fallen away from. So if you want to live by the law, then you're saying you shouldn't have had to die on that cross anyway, because I can follow the law and be just as holy as you. Huh? Exactly. We all think that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. It is! We've fallen from grace. Now, falling from grace doesn't mean you lost your salvation. They lost their salvation. They've fallen from the power. They severed themselves from Christ. They severed themselves from that power. What did I say about that electricity? You still got it. You still got all the stuff, right? You still got the stuff. When you get saved, what God says, I give you a new heart. Give you a new heart. I'm going to change you. He's going to change us really slow, because He couldn't change it really fast, because nobody, we couldn't do that. It would kill us. But you ever have something, you think of something, and God's like, hey, you need to work on that. It's like, ugh. Can't you just go away? Huh? You ever have that? Huh? When somebody cuts you off when you're driving, you just like to ram them off the road. Huh? If people would drive with a little bit of a brain, it'd be like, yay! Huh? You know what I'm saying? See, that's a personal burden I carry. Anyway, keep going. So Paul's saying, if you want to live by the law, I heard something this week and I chuckled. He said, you a Christian? He said, no. He said, I go to church. I go to church every Sunday. Go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. He said, that's just about like a cow. He said, just like a cow. He said, what do you mean? He said, just because I walk in and out of the barn all day long don't mean I'm a cow. You see that? Just because I come to church every Sunday doesn't mean I'm a Christian. I can be religious and come to church, right? I can have nothing to do with God. I'll give you this. Religion is anything you do for God that does not stem out of a heart connected to God. Isn't that cool? Why do you do what you do? Why do you love people the way you love them? Because God is in your heart? Yeah. That's why we do what we do. That's why we love each other. Because God is in our heart. Right? Let's go on. Verse 5. For we, not relying on the law, but through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith, anticipate and wait for the blessing and good for which is our righteousness, right standing with God. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Only your faith. Only the grace. Only God in your life what motivates you to do what you do, right? Huh? And we could read on down through. There's a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm not going to read all this. Because in verse 12, I had to chuckle. If you ever read the Message, you guys ever read the Message Bible? Verse 12, it says, I wish those who unsettled and confused you would just cut themselves off. Paul says, you know what? I just wish they would just cut themselves off. And that's not in a nice way. It's a bad way. The Message says to castrate themselves. And I thought, whoa, that's just mean. But Paul's saying, you know, I just wish they'd kill themselves. Whatever. That's almost what he's saying. I just wish they'd just go kill themselves. Wow. That's Paul. Verse 13. For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse. But through love you should serve one another. For the whole law concerning, this is amplified, concerning human relationships is compiled with and in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. Isn't that cool? Paul says, you know what? As mean as he was in verse 12, he says, you know what? We are free. You're free to love. You can love one another in God you love. Let's go to chapter 6. I want to finish this up really quick here. I got a whole bunch of stuff we didn't even touch, but I guess God knew what you needed to hear. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 11, it says, see what large letters I am writing with my own hand. I almost think Paul was dictating this to somebody, and they were writing this stuff down, and he goes, hey, give me that pencil. I want to finish this. Just give it to me. And he says, I want to write this myself. Some people say, yeah, because he had bad eyesight, maybe wrote big. I think Paul was making an exclamation point. He was marking carefully these closing words. That's what he was doing. He says, okay, see this? I'm writing in large. You can see it large. What's this? Those who want to make a good impression and a fine show in the flesh would try to comply with you to receive circumcision, simply so that they may escape being persecuted for alliance to the cross of Christ. For even the circumcised Jews do not really keep the law, but they want to have you circumcised in order they may glory in your flesh. That's what it says. It says they can't even keep the law. Don't let them kid you. Verse 14. But far be it from me to glory in anything or anyone except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul's saying, you know what, guys? All this other stuff don't matter. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on that cross, and He took my sins. You know what? And He rose from the grave on that third day. You know what? That means that the Holy Spirit came back to earth and lives in you and I. And you know what? That means that the Lord Jesus Christ is dwelling and settling in your heart and inside of you today. Isn't that cool? Do you feel it? I'm the only one. I'm thinking, man, is that something or what? That's something to know that the law doesn't really mean anything to me. I can't live by the law. I can't. You know, sure, there's things we need to do. We have laws of the country. We all understand that. What he's talking about here is the law of trying to be good enough. To be good enough to get into heaven. You ain't going to make it, guys. I ain't going to make it. None of us is that good. We're not. We are miserable, failing people. And you know what? God knew that. And He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on that cross and said, you know what? I'll take it. Jesus, I can just picture. You know, when you get to heaven, you ever wonder what Jesus is going to say, what'd you do with me? What did you do with me? Wow. That's heavy. He did everything for us. He paid that price. He did it all. What did you do with me? Wow. To the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. Father, what are we going to do with You? Father, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and Your presence actually indwells each and every one here who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That power, that strength is inside each and every one. Father, I pray that, Father, that we would just feel that. We would know that. We could comprehend it with our minds and feel it in our hearts, Father. Know that You are God. Your power resides in us. By faith, we can just stand up to mountains and praise You. Father, we just thank You. We praise You. Very limited on my mouth this morning, Father. And I thank You for using it, Father, to glorify You. Father, because You are worthy of our praise. We just thank You and praise You, Father. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. The elders come forward this morning. The praise band comes forward. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Him? Is he going to be the steering wheel? Or is He going to be the spare tire? Most of the spare tires I know are flat. They're not worth anything. Jesus is going to be the steering wheel.